And now from Sin City, the hottest sports betting show in the nation, Friday Night Locks.
With your hosts, Justin.
But it would be really cute with all that they've gone through to get into the playoffs.
Tanya.
Well, this is a done game.
The Tampa Bay game, you were like.
And Jason.
Gonna shock and amaze you. Ready? Ready for this?
Two dads and a mom that make betting fun. If it's Friday, it's friends, family, football, and Friday Night Locks. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
All right. Welcome back to FNL Friday Night Locks, week 9. Wait, is this, we're halfway this there?
Yep.
Technically, we're halfway there, right?
No, we got just playoffs like, and Super Bowl, baby.
just like Bon Jovi. Whoa. We're halfway there.
Yeah. We're the regular season.
Speaking of halfway there, T, I'm not sure why you're even here today because much like Tom Brady, you peaked this weekend and now you're just hanging around and you should get off while the crowd's still applauding. You hit your New Orleans Saints survival pick, which, first of all, they were an underdog. Second of all, nobody in any survivor pool had the Saints. Nobody except for
nobody.
You.
Nobody.
It was the most risky, ballsy, most genius pick in the entire world. It was never a sweat. They went, was it 24-0?
24-0.
Zippos.
So I don't know why you continue to handicap on this program. I think you should retire. That was the absolute sickest pick of all. Kudos to you. Congratulations on hitting that. At the time, I yelled so loud when you gave it out that I distorted the microphone, and I'm still kind of in shock. Who would do that? But no sense makes sense. I love Genius. That.
I'm very regretful that I didn't go place a simple bet on it, but that's all right. And they blew them out of the water, to say the least.
You know that they didn't. Yeah. The Raiders didn't cross the 50-yard line the entire game. And
then
at the very end, it was junk time. Like, you know, who cares at this point? 40 seconds left, and they finally crossed the 50 and still didn't score. And there was no missed field goals. There was no, you know, wasn't like pick crazy. It was just
no opportunities.
Punt, 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 punt.
And there was a point where I was like in the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter. I'm like, I don't like, let's just keep it at zero. This is fun.
Yeah.
Like, I just want it to end on zero. So then I can really just say.
And Dennis Allen was the head coach for the Raiders at one small portion of his career. So you can't tell me there's no revenge or there's no, like, people always say, oh, it doesn't matter. That was so long ago. They asked him before the game. Did he have any ill will? You know, the Raiders fired him. He was terrible. And he said, that was so long ago, you know. And then he just, you know, spanks him. So don't tell me there's nothing to be said about revenge, because there is in this league.
You can't measure revenge with data. And a lot of people get hung up on statistics. But I love the way, T, you came in last week with your Saints shirt on. You mentioned the word voodoo. None of which has to do with any sort of rushing, passing yards, defensive, blah, blah, blah. You just knew. You just knew the Saints. You claimed it. You never wavered. You weren't scared. So, I actually piggybacked your pick. I know you did too, Jay, in the contest.
Yep.
Yay!
Winner,
plus
winner.
One and a half, baby.
How was Wyatt's first Halloween, speaking of voodoo?
It was really, really good. We weren't available on Halloween night, so we did like a family thing on the Friday before, and just a little like side story. Ever since he was born, ever since Justin's life, even before I knew him, he does this cute like thing where he says, Cookie Monster, Cookie Monster Pop. And I think you actually called your beautiful dog Angel Cookie Monster Pop.
Yeah.
And anyways, long story short, when Wyatt was born, we just started calling him Cookie Monster Pop. So for our little outing, we dressed him up as Cookie Monster.
So he was warm too,
and he was warm and like fuzzy and a full like parka outfit. So it was good. And
but
it
he's
was
at a point that. Where he like he takes hoodies off.
He's like, I don't know.
He takes
this.
Beanies off. He throws glasses off.
Yeah.
But he was just chilling in his little. Because it had the eyes, the Cookie Monster eyes were like right at the top of the hood. So when he looked down, it was like the eyes.
Hilarious.
And he never took it off.
Yeah.
And then we took him to this parade in Summerlin. downtown Summerlin, like a Halloween parade every year. They have like a carnival and there's like all kinds of games and like food and vendors and, you know, food trucks and beer trucks. And it was really cool. Very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Nice Halloween's so much fun for kids, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone was out there.
But I'm so excited for him to get to, like, even next year, he'll be a year and a half. And I think he'll be more obviously walking and
too young
understanding of like maybe possibly going to doors at that point. So,
I mean, similar to the beach, just too young.
Yeah.
You know, but we had a blast and we took a lot of great pictures of him and we had fun. We had fun. So.
It's a fun trajectory, Halloween, to watch your kids because they start out with like the little plastic pumpkin candy thing and they go door to door. And then you start to get mad at those parents who have those crazy haunted houses when you have really little kids and people jump out of the bushes at them and try to really scare them bad. And then you're like, damn you. But the teenagers love those houses.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll reach the age where they go, forget this little plastic pumpkin candy collector. I want a pillowcase.
Oh, yeah, the pillowcase.
I'm out for blood.
And fill that mother.
Fill it up. Fill that counting mother. It. Yeah. I'm counting it
like,
later.
Twist there's the bag and then you throw it over your shoulder like Tom Sawyer, you're on a journey.
So Tanya says to me yesterday, do you need anything from the store? And I'm like, no. He goes, oh, I just was going to go see if there's any candy left. I was just going to put out a big bowl of candy at the door. Just let it be. No, you're not. Why? Come on. It's fun. I said, so they can jump the whole bowl in their pillowcase at one pop? No way. I'll have cameras on them. I will follow them back to their houses. No way.
The 5% of kids in the world would do that.
She said, you know what's funny? That will be their karma then.
But you know what?
You think an 11-year-old kid cares about karma? Cares about candy?
I'm going to tell you. No, she's right. And I have the proof. Because obviously my kids are older. They don't trick or treat anymore. They just... drink alcohol and watch really frightening movies. Secret shame. Anyway, but for a while we would open the door and, oh, you have such a great costume and here, take candy, and all the trick-or-treaters would come through. And then there were like a few years where we didn't trick-or-treat. And so we were like, we left the bowl. And I was just like, UJ, I go, someone's dumping that whole thing in one shot. But she's right. Strangely enough, the honor system works. I think there's something about Halloween that kids know it's not cool to take the whole bowl outside the door and dump it. So I agree with you, T. And then the last few years, not only do we not put the bowl outside, we turn our porch lights off.
Of course.
Our interior lights. Because we go,
bye.
We're not participating in Halloween anymore. We've done it. We've done it for years and years and years. We're tired. Well,
I don't
go
know what
away.
Neighborhood anyone grew up in, but that system wouldn't have worked in my neighborhood.
Because you lived there.
And the lights were out in my neighborhood because we couldn't pay the electric
bill. Oh, my God.
Every day was Halloween.
Twisted Every day story. Was Halloween, buddy. When it got dark, Mom said, time for bed.
You had no lights and you had to take all the candy because that was all you could eat.
That's right. That's no amazing. Refrigerator light.
You said this is dinner for the That's next right. couple days.
No refrigerator light to get milk. Nope. Go to bed. I mean, like I said, it's one of those things like New Year's Eve. Like I always say, I don't care about that. I don't. I really don't. But then if I do something, I'm like, that was cool. That was kind of fun. It's not like Christmas. It's not like Thanksgiving where you're cooking. It's like, do or don't dress up or don't dress up or participate or don't. So every time I have or we have, we've had a good time. So
you have to do silly things that you might not want to for your kid. You just have to.
Yeah. That's we enjoy it. I just think it's funny. The what you're saying, the quirks of everything. I think we had our babysitter last night with him and she said one person rang the door, which means they had to go through the darkness. Clearly, there's no one home and they still ring the door.
She gave him a kind bar.
she's very like, hippie.
you might want to slim down a little bit. Yeah. This is organic.
Yeah. She's like, I don't eat chocolate. Here's a kind bar. Yeah. Enjoy.
Wow. Thanks.
Peace. Yeah. But anyways, happy Halloween.
Well, yeah. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
And
so
now we're on to Thanksgiving. That's why I'm wearing my Thanksgiving cornucopia colors.
Yeah. It's fall.
I dig it. I was following this story all weekend. It was like a soap opera. It was like a roller coaster ride. For some reason on social media, I caught on to this guy who posted his ticket. I don't know which site he bet on. It's not really important.
Yeah.
He picked a 17 leg parlay. He bet $7.77 to win $124,000. And I'll tell you why. Every bet, every one of the 17 bets was a prop. So, you know,
which Aaron means what for?
It's not like listening. You bet, oh, Bears to win -3 or blah, blah, blah. It's like Justin Fields to throw a touchdown or
so-and-so to have an interception or more or whatever.
Dak Prescott to throw more than one touchdown. So-and-so to make an interception. It's a proposition based on individual player performance, almost in a fantasy league type way. $7 to win $124,000.
17, not a 17.
17.
One seven. If you don't hit all 17, you lose. So what happened was the game start and all of a sudden social media starts going mental because this guy is hitting 1, 2, 5, 10, 13. He's up to, so he hits 16 out of 17 at the end of Sunday night. He has one more prop. Guess what it is? Joe Mixon over 63.5 yards. Which you think
everyone was talking about his over in yards.
If you don't know anything, you think since he's back, they're on a roll, they're going to score a ton of points, and that was a lot of the conventional wisdom was his last prop was looking not that bad. Like they're going to give it to Mixon, they'll establish the run, and so this kid, he's a young guy. He just got married a few days earlier. So this guy and his new bride fly to Cleveland to watch his $7 ticket turn into $124,000. All he needs is Mixon to go over 63.5. Smartly, he stopped before he went to Cincinnati. He put $30,000 on under Joe Mixon, 63.5.
Smart. He hedged,
right? So meaning if his ticket doesn't come in, if Mixon runs for 62 yards, at least he gets $30,000.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the happiest of endings of this story, but it was such, like, again, he walked with $30,000 because Mixon ended up not rushing for 63.5 yards, but he still smartly hedged. He got something out of it. But
that's either $100,000 because it was almost 130, right? So like 100 G's or 30 G's.
Yeah, or like if he had risked it and not hedged, he would have ended up with nothing. So it was smart that he actually put a $30,000 bet in. So point being, we all love football. We love gambling. That was the craziest roller coaster of a story that I've seen in quite some time. Wow. So kudos to that guy who hit 16 out of 17 props on a $7 ticket.
Yeah, that's hard to do. Not to mention, like, I like the style of going to the game. Like, let's go to the game, you know. And then I like the fact that he actually hedged it because a lot of people get cocky and they say, I'm on fire. I can't lose.
It'll happen.
I don't want to jinx it. You always hedge your bet. And not only did he hedge his bet, but he showed up to like enjoy it. Could you imagine that night after if he wins? What a night.
That's a legendary night. And
drinks are on the house.
Yeah. You know, and you'd be tempted to go, well, I only invested $7. Why would I hedge? But he's... Smartly, at least
should
he
got
have $30,000.
$30,077.
I wonder what the seven was. 7, 7, 7, 17 teams.
Maybe it's lucky number seven.
Yeah, maybe it was lucky number seven. That's what I was thinking too. Yeah, that's wild, right?
Absolutely wild. Oh my God. Could you imagine 17? I wonder what the highest parlay is.
Let me tell you something about gambling. At some point, if you do it enough, you're going to have that day. You're not going to have a lifetime of, up and down, 100 here, 100 there. You're going to have that day. I don't care if you're tapping a machine. I don't care if you hit this outrageous parlay that you made at 3 a.m. when you were drunk.
Right.
It's going to happen for all of us. Don't you worry. It'll happen. I think it's phenomenal that it was all props. It wasn't overs. Like me, I wouldn't even think that way. Me, it would be overs, unders, and, you know, sides. And I don't even know who takes 17 team parlays. I don't even know who takes that many teams.
Were the Saints in it?
William Hill is 15 is the max.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the Saints were in it. I mean, it's easy to look up because it was a huge story over the weekend. But when you see a ticket and you start looking at 16 out of 17 bets and you go, oh my God, this guy is going to win. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
Did you know before the game what he had?
Well, yeah, they were posting it all weekend, and they go, all I need is Joe Mixon. And then last night, watching the Monday Night Football game, this guy was in the stands with a sign that says, just married, make me lucky twice, Joe Mixon. Like, was
I wonder
all,
if
like,
he knew. That's so funny.
Yeah. And, and then I think, unfortunately, Mixon did not come through for him, and the Bengals got slaughtered. But hey, you know,
shoot.
What a fun story, and hats off to that guy.
Well, I had the Browns in circus, so very happy.
Same. I gave out Cincinnati on the pod last weekend, but my whole handicap was the LSU connection, Burrow to Chase, which obviously Chase got injured. We tape early in the week. And that's also a good lesson that if you get new information during the week and the line moved from 3 to 3.5, you should be able to get off your position and take it. However, even despite that, we went 3-2 on this podcast last week. Check our record. Another winning week on this podcast. So I say we keep the good times rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
No need to talk about spilled milk, guys. Let's move forward.
The only thing more fun than watching football is betting on it. Ready to make some cash?
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
All right, let's talk about my survivor pick this week.
Don't make me freak out again.
Well, it's getting, obviously, we're in week 9.
Joe Mixon.
You know who I won't be picking? I think I've already picked them, but the Buccaneers, I won't be picking them.
No, you won't.
Oh, I feel like the air is out of that tire. And I hate to say, all three of us could have said, we told you so.
Oh, Tom.
Fine. Thomas Brady's is.
I will say one thing, not to interrupt, okay. But I have to say this because I was thinking about it. I was in the car yesterday. I want to say this real quick.
Yeah.
Tom Brady does a show with Jim Gray called Let's Go and Larry Fitzgerald. And Jim Gray asked the question yesterday. Obviously, Tom knew it was coming, but he said, Tom, there's a lot of stuff going on in your personal life. Would you like to discuss that? And I was like, wow, only Jim Gray gets the story because it's their pod.
Sure.
And he goes, yeah, Jim, you know, we all go through hard times in life and you just got to be professional. And I just got to be a good dad to my kids. It's a very amicable situation. And I just need to be professional. And two things that I want to do is just be a good father and win football games.
Didn't want to be a loyal husband.
He talked about it, and if you don't already know, spoiler alert, it's over.
Giselle said late.
Yeah, it's all over.
I have a theory.
But at least he talked about it, and he was honest, and he was candid, and it was very short, very quick. Jim Gray moved on. Like I said, it was probably very rehearsed, but it's over.
I don't know if you know this. Carly watches The Bachelor. One season they had a backup quarterback. It was like Jesse something from the Giants.
Jesse Palmer.
He was the bachelor. So perhaps Tom?
Oh, God.
Could it be? The new bachelor, Tom Brady?
He has to wait for his Max Singer debut first.
Oh, terrible. Both of those.
He was gone for 11 days.
That's terrible.
Where was he?
But both of those combined, he'll go.
Max Singer.
Okay,
he was the pumpkin. He was the pumpkin, the scarecrow.
No, he wasn't. Tom Brady.
I know.
Oh, Jesus. But now he'll officially retire if he has those two things in line. That's for sure.
Or now that it's done and there's still time to turn the season around and he's already set up his Bumble, his match.
Yeah.
Is he ready to roll?
I called his answering machine the other day and it was like, baby, come back. Little baby.
The good news is he can fit into his skinny jeans again.
Yeah.
And look like a skeleton for Halloween.
No.
So I will not be picking the Buccaneers.
Yes.
Quite the opposite. In fact, I will be picking the Patriots this week.
Ooh.
So it's not a favorite or a top pick right now, but I feel like it's a runner up. Bill Belichick is on fire.
He's on fire. He just passed George Halas. For 325 wins.
Against the rookie QB.
Yeah.
Take it. He owns the Jets.
They're playing the Colts this week. The Colts are, in my opinion, they're all right. They're not anything crazy, but they have one. I don't know what the record is. 4-5-1.
They're terrible.
4-4-1 or something. I just feel like Bill Belichick is just steamrolling right now. Tom Brady's going down the drain and Bill Belichick's like, hi.
Oh, wow.
So
that's just me.
I'm going to go to the sports book today and I'm going to go, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100 on the Pats.
I can tell you also that I just read this morning the Colts fired their offensive coordinator, which is a signal that things are broken.
Yeah, they're scattered. They're confused. I don't think they know what's going on. Actually, where is it?
It's in New England.
New England too. So,
and it's cold. It's getting chilly. But you know, it's funny also. Like the Lions fired their DB coach.
Right.
Fire Aaron Glenn. Why are you firing this?
They can't. They're all homies.
It's always like the cover up and like let's fire Frank Reich needs to go. Like they're awful.
Is it a bold prediction to say, given last week when T puts out a survivor pick, that's an auto play for me. Like that's a contest pick. Well, like
I mean, I don't like the line, but I like it. I like it. Money line.
What is the line?
5.5. It's like that weird. It could be 6. Some people said it's creeping towards 6. If, you know, if it's 6, then you think, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
But 5 is like so. Like
I just feel like it's like we said a couple of weeks ago. They're separating. All the teams are separating right now, and they're categorizing themselves. And last week was, you know, just a Hail Mary.
Well, everybody's chasing the Bills, so you got to keep up. You got to keep pace.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that more than Belly.
That's my pick. I'm picking the Patriots.
Love it.
Lock it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
Speaking of Tom Brady,
my
selection this week for my first pick will be those Buccaneers -3. And here's why.
Like, we don't even live in the same house.
Here is why. I'm trying to think clear this year. I'm not trying to think, you know, who I like, who's hot, who's not. I'm just trying to think clear and really put it in a box and break it down.
Can I say one thing before you start? You're 7-1 over the last month. You are seeing things clearly. Props to you. Continue. Sorry, I just want to throw that in.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Thank you. Both of these teams are struggling. The Rams won the Super Bowl. The Bucs lost to go to the Super Bowl. Like, now they're both reeling. The Bucs are barely a game out because their division, the Saints division, that Atlanta division, that Carolina division, is so bad. So the Bucs are always going to kind of be in it unless Atlanta starts to just do whatever. Everyone's like on Atlanta now. I don't get that. Their defense is just
terrible. Yeah.
Horrible. They gave up 5 scores after halftime in a row. It was just so bad. Anyway, the Rams are in this division where they were supposed to be the front runners. Then you had Arizona. Then you had San Francisco. Now San Francisco's starting to peak. They got McCaffrey. Arizona is taking the dive, just like we said they were going to. And now the Rams are in the bottom of that pile. The problem is, in this game, something's got to give. So you say home team, -3. Okay, well, then that's a pick 'em. But the problem is the Rams have no skill players on offense. They have Cooper Kupp, and that's it. Matt Stafford has 7 touchdowns and 8 picks. Tom Brady at least has 9 touchdowns and 1 pick. They're both having a hard time pushing the ball. And the Tampa Bay situation is that O-line. And the Rams have O-line issues too. But like injuries, this and that and the other. The Rams cannot run the ball. Their leading rusher has 297 yards. Darrell Henderson. He's not even a starter. He wasn't even a starter until Cam Akers went crazy.
I can't run it.
You can't run the football. You have Cooper Kupp, who you throw to 90% of the time. Cooper Kupp, I don't know why he was in that San Francisco game at the end of the game. They were down by 17 points, and he almost broke his ankle run back. He's going to play, but here's my prediction. He's going to be hobbled. The Tampa Bay D is going to get at him. They're going to take that ankle. They're going to go whack, and that's going to be it. There's going to be no one that can score the football except Jalen Ramsey on defense. Pick 6 or something miraculous. Tampa Bay is going to do just enough. They're going to win this game. I don't even have to get into the fact that the Rams, they're not figuring things out, and they just don't have any, just like the Bears, just like Justin Fields, they have nobody that can move the football. And it's Cooper Kupp or bust, and you can't give them the rock every single time. Even him, he's having a 600-yard year, five TDs. So give me the Bucks for those reasons and so many more. I don't see them losing a second home game. Last week, the Thursday night game, they've got time to prepare. Give me the Bucks minus the three, and I'm locking that up. And I'm sorry, Rams fans. I'm one of them, but they're no good. They're just flat out no good.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
For my second pick, I am going to Kansas City, where the 5-2 Titans are playing the 5-2 Chiefs. The Chiefs coming off a bye. But you know what the problem is? The spread is too high. Chiefs off a bye, spread's too high. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, whoa. Like you were a rapper at one point.
These teams are familiar with each other. The Chiefs are actually number one, if not number two, in most categories, even over the Buffalo Bills. So, like, they lost to Buffalo in that tough game a couple weeks back. Then they had their bye. But they're actually playing the best football in the league. They lost a couple tough ones. So, anyway, Derrick Henry is mashing. He has 755 yards rushing. He had 218 against Houston last week. They're just going to hand him the football all day long. They really miss A.J. Brown over there in Tennessee because he's lighting it up in Philly. They have no one. Robert Woods is their leading receiver, Robbie Trees, and he's got, like, I think 256 yards on the year, and he's the top receiver on their team, which tells me all they're doing is handing the rock off to Derrick Henry. 12 points is a lot. Chiefs could go up by 17. Chiefs could go up by 21. Backdoor boogie. Just like that Green Bay game in Buffalo, who I also had in the circuit contest last week, plus that 11 or 10 and a half. They lost by 10. I'm feeling that same magic. It's also, I believe it's the night game. I believe it's that 5 o'clock game, just like that Green Bay game. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to break out the banjos for the first time this year. And my pick, my second selection is going to be the Tennessee Titans, plus that number of 12. And I'm locking it up. What do you think?
I support that.
You support that? Mm-hmm. I support that too. Who doesn't like
a lot
12,
of points in the NFL, 12, man?
12 and a half. Only caveat, word to the wise, it's early in the week when we tape. Tannehill still not sure if he's playing or not. That's
he
a
didn't
big
play last week. Yep.
It's a big swing. So just be careful.
Yeah, Malik passed. I think he threw 10 passes. Malik Willis did 10 passes the whole game, and they just handed the ball to Derek. And then Dontrell is backing up Derek, so they're doing a little like platoon action. Not much because Derek's getting the ball, but I like the number. Mm-hmm. A lot of points. The Chiefs aren't famous for covering those kind of points. If not, they're not a real cover machine. They just win. They mash it out ugly. And so, I like that. And just give me the Titans. Let's see what happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
All right. For my first pick, you're definitely going to hate this. This is me going back to my favorite / most hated player in the NFL, my boy, Mr. Ayahuasca, Mr. Cal, Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
He's terrible.
Okay, that's why I knew. This is controversial.
There's
like
got to be other teams out there.
Come on.
Listen to me.
When you look at your teams, does Green Bay, is it just in bold? Is it bigger?
Last year was Pittsburgh. This year was a little Patriots. I went on a Patriots run. I got off Green Bay for a couple weeks.
You did go on a Patriots run.
As we all know, I choose my teams by how much I like the quarterback's haircut. And if I tell you right now that Aaron Rodgers has the best haircut in the NFL, I dare you to argue that. Because his hair is looking precious, as Cat Williams would say.
Precious.
Here's my handicap. All jokes aside, I liked what I saw out of Green Bay in Buffalo. I know they lost, but they covered the number. And I'll tell you, they got some lousy calls against them. I think the refs definitely wanted Buffalo to win that game. I loved what I saw from Aaron Jones. Oh. I think Green Bay is going to run it down Detroit's throat. Detroit is a lousy run defense. And yes, Detroit's feisty, but I think Detroit has this perception in the gambling market that they're a sexy underdog at home, especially with that 3-4 number. Like that's, Detroit, the home dog. That's last year. I'm going to tell you right now, this morning across the waivers, Detroit is trading Hockenson, their star tight end, to the Minnesota Vikings. To me, that's a signal. I think Detroit's 1-6 this year.
Yeah,
that's a signal that, guys, we need draft picks because this year is over.
They want Bryce Young, too.
I've never been a fan of Jared Goff and his happy feet. I think Green Bay has a really good pass defense, as a matter of fact. Think about Buffalo. Think about that spot. Green Bay let them have 27, but for Buffalo, okay. I think I like the chippiness that I saw from Green Bay. I like their body language. They were talking smack.
They only gave up 3 points in the second half of that game.
Thank you. And
they shut things down.
Did you see Jair Alexander talking smack to
Diggs and Davis?
That I like. That shows me that this team has not given up. That shows me that this team is feisty and chippy. I think Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers said at the press conference after the game, we just need a get right game. Mm-hmm. This is it. T, last week you said if New Orleans doesn't win this game, go home. Okay. I think this is the same spot for Green Bay. If they can't beat Detroit, and historically Aaron Rodgers has beaten the crap out of Detroit.
Yeah.
So if they can't win this game, go home, Packers. And I'm wrong. And take my money and break my back. I'm not afraid of three. I don't like the hook, but I'll lay it. If I'm playing, I'm laying. Thoughts?
I think it's a comfortable pick, but also a very scary pick because both teams are on the treading the line of deciding their fate in this game.
No, but I agree with the feisty thing. Like, they're 1-6. Are they? Like, someone said the other day, I'm not sure who it was, Pat McAfee maybe, or somebody said, you know, why aren't they tanking?
They are. Yeah, they are tanking.
They are tanking, dude. That trade that you're talking about, tanking. They're tanking. They're 1-6. Bring on Bryce Young. Bring on Alabama's QB. Bring on this Heisman the second time. He'll probably win it again. And bye-bye Jared Goff. I like Jared Goff. He's a nice enough kid, I'm sure. Guess what? It's time to go. And it's time to rebuild. And the speeches, the Dan Campbell speeches, aren't going to carry you anymore. I love that.
He's likable. He's motivating too. But talent rises to the top. And just like you said, Green Bay didn't give up anything against Buffalo in the second half. Detroit didn't score in the second half against Miami. Mm-hmm. Miami just poured it on and poured it on.
They were up by like 5 times. I mean, you can't lose that game. You just can't. I mean, God bless Tua. He's having a year. But come on, dude. 27-0. No.
At what point in a season do you look at your standings and go, season's over, we still have to play games, but let's just focus on other things now?
Right about now, about halfway in.
You should ask that to your coach of the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Raiders won 10 games last year.
And they liked their coach.
Like, they don't even exist this year.
Their interim coach.
The Raiders added the best wide receiver in the game and Chandler Jones on the defensive. They should win 11 games this year, right? Like, that's a bad story. I feel sorry for your hometown fan for the Raiders this year. They haven't had a lot to cheer about. Yeah. But my point is this. Green Bay is not only not mathematically eliminated, if they're going to do it, like you said about Tampa Bay, Jay, this is it. This is the starting point of the season. If you can't win in Detroit, you can't win anywhere.
And take my money. They always were saying Aaron Rodgers receivers, this and that, and you know, they can't catch it all. That dime in the corner over the shoulder catch.
Sick, sick.
Okay, that was a nice throw, but a better catch.
Great catch.
So let's stop what they can't catch, because that was a hell of a catch in the corner. Like, and it was a dime, but it was a hell of a catch. And they were feisty. They were talking madness. They were ready to fight in the tunnel. Like,
I like that.
They're not giving up. Matt LaFleur needs to run the ball more. The Aaron Jones factor.
Yes.
Run the ball more. Man, he was mashing them. And then they don't run. I don't get it. Just run the ball more.
100%. So
I like that pick.
You convinced me.
Thank you. You give me my favorite hated player. Mr. Psychedelic, Mr. Hippie, Mr. Good Haircut. Jeez. Packers, lock it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
For my second pick, and I might be hanging around too long at the party.
Oh, no.
I'm taking the Seahawks on the road in Arizona. Geno, your favorite MVP, is now down from 80-1 to 40-1. I like
Pete Carroll. And comeback player of the year, yes. He's 7-1.
Thank you. I don't.
Technically, it's a comeback.
Unlike LaFleur and McVay and Kingsbury, Pete Carroll has no interest in manscaping his beard. He has a lot of interest in winning when he shouldn't win. And I like the story in Seattle. I like the way Geno's playing. I like the way Lockett's playing. I like the way their running backs are playing. I think their defense is getting better. I think Seattle's a better team. They're getting points on the road. I think the wrong team is favored here. I don't think Arizona has such a huge home field advantage. Traditionally, when Kingsbury's a favorite, he does not cover those numbers. I don't believe in Kyler Murray. And I'm going to take Seattle until the wheels fall off this train that every single week they keep surprising people. Just like the Giants last week, they had to come down to earth. Maybe this week is the week, like you're saying, Jay, that Seattle comes back down to earth and we go, okay. But until they prove that they're coming down, I'm going to take them against Arizona. I don't like Arizona. And it's a divisional game, divisional dog. Give me the points. What do you think?
I don't think they're going to make mistakes. I think they're well coached. Everyone's screaming that Legion of Boom's back and all that. Geno is managing, more than managing. I don't even want to say managing. He's following Pete Carroll's game plan, and he's throwing beautiful dimes. I mean, he had sure two touchdowns dropped. Metcalf dropped one and Lockett dropped one. And that game would have been out of control. I don't think they'll make mistakes and get blown out or, you know, I just don't know if it's going to be like a coin flip, witchy field goal to win it type, you know, I don't know, but a field goal wins it. I got your back. I support you. And I don't really have a side or skin in that game, but it's tough.
Yeah. No, I respect that. It's definitely like part of gambling is sometimes making yourself feel uncomfortable.
100%.
And this is an uncomfortable bet. But
well, two's a weird number though, right?
So two's a weird number, but just to strip everything out, I think I'm getting the better team with points.
Sure.
That's it.
Take it and run.
All right. And I'm locking it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
All right. Let's recap on tonight's FNL. T says, if you want to survive, take Belichick at home against Indy. Patriots for the win. Justin likes Tampa Bay at home, -3. And Tennessee on the road, catching 12.5. I like Green Bay on the road. In Detroit, -3 in the hook. And I'll take Seattle also on the road, +2. And that's our show.
And don't forget to like and subscribe. Touch that little thumbs up button underneath there. And listen to us on our audio platforms or our video on YouTube. But check us out everywhere. And I just want to, just in case you didn't see, Justin's new sweatshirt. Did you see Justin's new sweatshirt?
I see that.
So it's really cool. Explain this.
I'm intercepting cancer. That's kind of my cheers. You know, NFL does this intercept cancer. They do the crucial catch. They do all that for cancer. As we all know, my mother passed from cancer. And so it's something near and dear to my heart. So I spent the money on the shirt. It also has her name on the back.
Oh, awesome. I love that.
So very cool thing that I wanted to do. And I wanted to just say on that note, cheers to the NFL for doing that, because that's very sweet. And it's definitely needed. Any money that you can give towards, you know, curing this horrible disease would be a big step moving forward. So cheers. Yep. Beat the cheers. Book. No matter what you do, bet responsibly or don't, but beat the book. That's the most important thing to remember, guys. Cheers, and I'll see you next week.
Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for supporting Friday Night Locks by clicking the like and subscribe button and leaving us a review. Thanks again for tuning in, and see you all next week. Good luck at the book.